Our first scripture lesson today is from the book of Exodus, chapter 16, verses 1 through 16. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. The whole congregation of the Israelites set out from Elim, and Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard the complaining that you utter against him, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, 'Draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining.'" And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked towards the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather as much of it as each of you needs, an omer to a person according to the number of persons, all providing for those in their own tents.'" For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
Our next scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew. I'll be reading from the 20th chapter of Matthew, verses 1 through 16. And like the first reading, this is a very familiar story from our scriptures. And so I invite us to listen to these words with new ears as we seek to hear God's voice in these words for our lives. This is Jesus speaking. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he set them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' And they said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' And he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first. When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us. You have borne who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he, the manager, replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to the last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. For the Word in creation, for the Word in Scripture, and for the Word within us. Thanks be to God. There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits. Do you remember that old television show? Some of us do. And then there was this other little thing on our television sets and our radios that started off with a high-pitched tone, and then the voice said, "This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, this station will conduct the test of the emergency broadcast system. This is only a test." Sometimes our scriptures are rather veiled in their meaning for us, and at other times they are quite unambiguous. Our two readings this morning point to the latter. Both readings begin with rather clear statements of the purpose, the reason for the story being told, retold, and eventually included in Scripture. First, let's look at Exodus, where God says to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not." Now, this may sound strange to our ears. It may sound a little bit like that television announcement, "This is a test." It may be odd to us that God is testing the people. And if God was testing them, what does God test us with? If so, how do we know if we pass or fail? Are we part of some cosmic no child of God left behind program where we are taught to the test? In many ways, God reminds me in this story of a junior high school teacher I once had. On the first day of class, much to the shock of all of us students, this teacher said, "Pull out your pencils. We are going to have a test." The first day of school. And so the test was passed out, and we all took the test and got busy. Within minutes, some people began handing in their papers while others were answering away, working very hard, and began to suspect something because they were very busy working on the test while others had already turned theirs in. And I'm sure you probably know the rest of this story. Because those who actually followed instructions had already turned their paper in. Because you see, the very first thing at the top of that test said, "Read this entire test before beginning to answer the questions." And we all know what happened. The very last thing on the test said, "Do not answer any of the previous questions. Sign your paper. Take it to the teacher. Do not tell your classmates who have not bothered to follow the instructions to read through the entire test." Well, actually, I think this reading from Exodus is more like my junior high school teacher's test than I had at first realized. Because if you read to the end of it, you find out there are more instructions. Our reading this morning sort of stopped the way many of the students in that class did. They just dove right in without reading all of the directions. Because you see, in the latter verses of this story that we did not read this morning, it says this. It says, "The Israelites did so. They gathered more and some less." This is the manna. "But when they measured it with an omer, those who gathered much had nothing over, and those who gathered little had no shortage. They gathered as much as each of them needed. And Moses said to them, 'Let no one leave any of it over until morning.' But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and became foul. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning they gathered it as much as each needed, but when the sun grew hot, it melted. On the sixth day they gathered twice as much food, 2 omers apiece, when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, and he said to them, 'This is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil, and all that is left over put aside to keep until morning.' And they put it aside till morning as Moses commanded, and it did not become foul, and there were no worms in it. And Moses said, 'Eat it today, for today is the Sabbath. Today you will not find it in the field. For 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh, which is a Sabbath, there will be none.' And on the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather, and they found none. And Moses and the Lord said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to keep my commandments and instructions? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, the Lord gives you food for 2 days. Each of you stay where you are. Do not leave your place on the seventh day." You see, this test for the children of Israel is very simple. When the bread appears in the morning and the quail come in the evening, eat all you want, but don't save any until the sixth day. Do not hoard it. You have all that you need. But if you hoard it, if you try to take more than you need, it will spoil. It will become rancid. And a key part of this story is that when they measured it with this measure of an omer, that no matter how much they tried to put in the omer, it always held just enough for what they needed. Those who gathered little had no shortage. Those who gathered much had no shortage. God provided exactly what they needed. Regardless of how much they were put into the measuring cup, it ended up being enough. And this is probably a good place to look at the gospel story, which also begins with a statement of purpose. As Exodus says, "This is a test," Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like this." And he tells this story as an example of what the kingdom of heaven among us looks like. And some of us don't like what we see. Some of us hear the story, but we choose not to appropriate it. We choose not to live it. We choose to say, "Oh, well, that would never work in real life." And in many ways, we're right, because many of us are right there with that grumbling group asking, "How can it be fair for people to get paid the same thing when some people worked all day and other people only worked an hour? How can that be fair?" But the landowner quickly reminds them, and the story reminds us, that equal payment is not a matter of fairness, but one of honoring the established agreement, or the instructions, as in the Exodus story. And the agreement in this case was for a day's wages. And according to the landowner, a day's wages for whoever worked, not how long they worked. The wage given, just like the measuring cup for manna, ends up being enough. Now, both of these stories are basically, I would say, first and foremost, about God's abundant generosity. God provides everything we need to live in the kingdom of heaven. We already have everything we need. Jesus, in his parable of the kingdom, shows us the way. But it's not a way in which he is some kind of supernatural mediator between a demanding God and us. It's not a way in which Jesus miraculously just makes everything okay. Jesus shows us a way by shattering the illusion that we live by, an illusion that there is some kind of stratification in creation. And he says this with, the last will be first and the first will be last. I often thought of this in linear terms, which I think many of us do with our Western mindsets. And if we think of this in linear terms, we imagine somebody is first in line and somebody is last in line. It's like the line at the grocery store. It's like the line in the school cafeteria. Somebody's first and somebody's last in that line. And I think we imagine in our culture that this line is also includes the rich and the poor, the successful, the unsuccessful, whatever we are using to provide this stratification. But what if we looked at the ends of the line differently? Because when you're in a straight line, when the first becomes last and the last becomes first, they just kind of switch positions. And people who were first say, whoa, no, I don't want to be last. I don't want to be last. And the people who were last are suddenly first. What if we imagine this not in a linear way, but in a more circular way, where the first and the last, the two ends, come together. And in coming together, then every point on the line is actually the same. And that way, the first and the last come together. They become one another. Now, this is not so much a matter of equality as it is a matter of equity. And I think we get those two things confused many times. Because equity recognizes our differences as well as our unique qualities. Equity recognizes our diversity as well as our individuality. Equity meets us at our point of need and provides what we need. It is not static, but rather dynamic. It's a dynamic of ebb and flow. Creation itself is sustained by equity. There is an ebb and a flow to the universe. As a matter of fact, on Tuesday morning this week at 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time, we will be experiencing one of those cosmic moments that point out the equity within the universe. We will be experiencing the autumn equinox. But it doesn't stay like that all of the time. We move into the winter solstice. And then we move into the spring equinox. And then we move into the summer solstice. It is an ebb and a flow. It is equity. The tides, the seasons, the moon, the stars, all function within a web of interconnected equity. And we as part of creation, are part of this. The real difference for us is we have choice. Like the Exodus story, we can choose to ignore the instructions. Like the gospel story, we can choose to ignore the agreement that was made. We can disrupt equity through greed, through our need for power and control. All of the things that are driven by fear that there's not enough. And the fear that there's not enough drives so much of the inequity in our world today. These stories of manna and workers in the vineyard show us a way. They show us a way forward if we would only listen, if we would only take a look at the whole story and not just stop at the beginning. In our world today, there is a need for so many of us to pay attention to the dynamics of creation. Pay attention to the way we interact with one another. When we make agreements, stick with them. When we set out rules for us to follow, let's follow them. But we must always be aware of the equity. This is not to be legalistic. This is not to be mechanistic. It is to realize that we live in a web of interconnectedness where the decisions we make affect other people. This is the world we live in. A world where everything we need is provided for us. But we must learn to live in ways that are equitable so that everyone's needs are met. Amen. In many places in our scriptures, an understanding of peace is not necessarily the absence of conflict as much as it is the inclusion of all things. Peace includes everybody and everything. When we live in peace, we live in harmony. We live in connection with one another. We live in the ebb and flow of the universe where we all have enough. And when some of us have too much, we give to those who have too little. And when we have too little, we open our lives to the generosity of the universe. But we are integral to this. We have choices to live in the kingdom of God in the way that God has provided. Let us go into this world and live in peace. Amen.